The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it's another day that we can live and we can know the Lord Jesus Christ and have His joy and peace in our heart. This program is upholding the Bible as the Word of God, and there's many a people that are attacking it. You know, it's very interesting. The first thing that you hear about the devil is in Genesis chapter 3, and the first thing that he opens his mouth is, "Yea, hath God said." So the program of the devil is to question God's word and to encourage you to doubt it and disbelieve it, and then you will not know God. I like to go sometimes and hear what different people are saying about things, and so in one of the public libraries near here, they had different speakers speaking on different religions, so I started to go to these and hear what they had to say. And so last night, an individual gets up and speaks on supposedly Christianity, and he seemed like a nice guy. He was a preacher and professed that he had taught in many schools and universities. If you're a Bible believer, if it's a public university, other religions can speak, but you're not allowed to, even though in this country, there's about 50 million Baptists, according to the Plain Dealer article, and he said about 17%, most of them are Bible believers, and yet you will never see somebody teaching that actually believes the Bible in these universities. We say that these people are for censoring anything that has to do with Christ, the Bible, and God, and everybody else can speak. And so anyway, I went to hear, I listened to him talk. And if there was any such thing as an infidel in the past, there used to be people that publicly spoke against Christianity, this man was it. I didn't say he wasn't a nice guy. But I'm going to talk about some of the things that he said, first of all. And the Bible warns that this would happen in the future. And in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 16, it's Peter says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." They saw Jesus raise the dead. They saw him do miracles. They saw him die. They saw him after he rose from the dead for a period of 40 days. And then Peter goes on, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when they came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with them in the Holy Mount." You remember Peter, James, and John went up to the mount, and they saw Christ in all his glory as he was before he had come to earth and took on a human body. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, is unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of this scripture is of any private interpretation." Now, what he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy than seeing Christ in all of his glory, hearing the voice of God the Father out of heaven. It's more sure in the word of God, because God said he'd keep it. And the one that runs the stars within a fraction of a second said he would keep his word. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away," and that's found in Matthew 24:35. And so God keeps his words. And he mentioned there that we're not so concerned anymore with the words, but we're concerned with the thoughts and the principles that are found there. Well, right off the bat, he is going against the whole Bible, because God emphasizes over and over again the words. God's interested in accuracy. He's interested in perfection. He's interested in the words. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so all through the Bible, it says the Lord spoke, the Lord said. These are the words of the Lord. And it's taught all the way through, and Jesus Christ himself taught it. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And so there's so many of them out there, people don't even know what a Christian is. And practically every type of philosophy or idea you can imagine calls itself Christian today, so they'll get a following. And so let me simply say what one is. Thomas, who doubted Jesus after he rose from the dead, because he wasn't there when Christ appeared to them, he comes the second week and he sees Christ after he rose from the dead. And Jesus said, put your hand in my side. And then he said, look at my prints of the nails in my hands and put your fingers on them. And he says, don't be doubting, but believing. And Thomas, when he saw this, he recognized it was Christ who had risen from the dead, as he said he'd do. And he said, my Lord and my God. Now, in those times, once a year, the citizens of the Roman Empire had to throw incense on a fire and say, Caesar is Lord. And by that, they're saying, he has a right to tell me what to do. He's the boss. He's the king. And I'm supposed to do what he said. Now, the first thing about a Christian is that he says to Jesus, my Lord. That is, you have a right to tell me what to do. And how does he do it? He tells us what to do. He's our Lord through the Bible. And it's very, very clear in the Bible. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? And so the Bible is the authority. And so you're a Christian when you accept the fact that Jesus is your Lord, and then he is your God. Thomas saith unto him, my Lord and my God. It's not somebody else's Lord and God, but it's my Lord and my God. You personally say this. You, when you get married, you're personally married to another human being. And the preacher says, will you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, and so on. And she says, I do. And then he says to the man, will you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? And he says, I do. And then the minister says, I now pronounce you man and wife. And he gives the name, and you may kiss the bride. And God has told every human being, he said, I do to you. If you receive me as your Lord and God, your creator, and the one that died for your sins, at that moment you have eternal life, and you belong to God's family, and you're in it. But here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2, it said there will be false teachers that come that will deny Jesus Christ and bring in damnable heresies. That is, they will bring in ideas and beliefs that will cause a person's damnation and destruction and separation from God in hell. Now, this individual was supposed to speak on Christianity and represent what a Christian believes, but it was a total attack. And I wonder if he even totally understood that what he was saying was against everything that the Bible teaches. So he starts off and he says that the Old Testament was put together by stories that were brought together after the Jews had come back from Babylonian captivity. And that would have been about the year 500. Well, most of the people that teach this believe that it was under Josiah when they brought so-called stories together. And so really he was denying that Moses actually wrote the first five books of the Bible. And yet it's based on something that is taught in so many seminaries and is taught in public colleges, and it's called the documentary hypothesis. And it's called JEPD. J stands for Jehovah, E for Elohim, a name for God, Jehovah, name for God, P, priestly code in Deuteronomy. And they said that hundreds of years later, these people got these different tribal deities, which are names for God, and brought them together in a book. And they said it was at the time of about 600 B.C. And at that time, well, at that time, the Assyrian empire was predominant, and they spoke Aramaic. And strangely enough, at that time in the Hebrew scriptures, you don't find at that time. They said that these stories were brought together, and Moses didn't write it. And yet we find out that in the first five books of Moses, which is called the Torah, there are Egyptian words mixed in with the Hebrew words, not Aramaic words from the Assyrians, which were predominant at the time when this fabulous idea was brought out. But there were Egyptian words. And a man named Robert Dick Wilson at Princeton University understood many different languages, and he totally devastated that theory. Winston Churchill, who was a historian, he didn't believe in it either. And all the prophets of the Old Testament that spoke with this, they taught that Moses wrote it. The Bible says Moses wrote it. Moses said he wrote it. The prophets of the Old Testament said he wrote it. And yet, in these schools and in these colleges, they're teaching, no, Moses didn't write it. Well, you know, the authority on all this as to who wrote it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so if you destroy and say that Moses didn't write it, then you're destroying the basis of Christianity, because the whole basis of what Jesus taught is found in these books, the first five books, the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. I want you to see what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 36. But he says, I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Now, Jesus demonstrated that he was God, and God the Father had sent him because of the total power over everything. The four Gospels are written to show that Jesus is Lord over death, he is Lord over disease, he is Lord over demons, he is Lord over nature, and that he is the creator of the world. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When he opened the blind man's eyes and he took the mud and he put it in his eyes and he made him eyeballs on the spot, he was showing that he was completing the job as creator that he had begun in his mother's womb. And so they bear witness of Jesus. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Now, if you don't believe Jesus is God, you don't know God at all. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has seen, him ye believe not. Now, we have his word in us. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And his word doesn't have errors, even though it's in English. We have it in the Authorized King James Bible today, not simply in the original autographs as people teach, and there's no such teaching in the Bible. Only the originals are infallible, inspired, and inerrant. That's a falsehood right out of hell. There's no scripture verse for it at all. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And the scriptures are true because they're scriptures, and they're the writing that God has given mankind. You will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now that's the problem in evangelical, fundamental, and every other kind of religious school. Somebody claims to be a scholar, is educated, and rather than believing what the Bible says, they will believe what that individual says, because they receive honor from one another. They give each other doctor's degrees, DD degrees, PhD degrees, and so they receive this honor from each other. And many times the professors in evangelical and even some fundamental schools, they're listening to what unsaved people say. You know, the educated class, they like to pretend that they're intellectual and that what they believe is based on not emotion, but on their intellectual arguments and thoughts. But the Bible says, out of the heart proceedeth the working of mankind. And if a man, he may be educated, but it doesn't mean he'll have the truth, because his heart will lie to him, and he will pass on a lie that his heart teaches him. And so the Bible says, Jesus himself says, one of the problems today is people, somebody says scholarship and science, and the whole herd snorts three times and runs violently over the cliff when that word is mentioned. And many times if you study their arguments and you really get into it in depth, their arguments are based on nothing. And so you have this documentary hypothesis when the writers of the Old Testament and Jesus himself said Moses wrote it, they will deny this. And here's a preacher. This man that spoke was a preacher in a Protestant church and a professor in colleges that were training preachers. He didn't believe Moses said it, despite the fact that Jesus said this. Why do you call yourself a Christian then? Why don't you say what you really are, and that's an infidel? You know, Martin Luther believed it. If you say you're a Protestant, why don't you believe what Martin Luther said? Or John Calvin believed it, or Elwood Zwingli believed it, and John Wesley believed it. And yet they can call themselves all these things, and they don't believe what the Bible says. Now, Jesus, I want to repeat this verse again. He says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Jesus believed the scriptures, and he believed in Moses and the prophets. You look in Luke chapter 22, and he put his validity on all the Old Testament books. There's three of them. He mentions three divisions that the Jews had, and that was the law, the writings, and the prophets. And this included the 39 books of the Old Testament. And he believed it. If you say you're a Christian, why don't you believe that? Well, you don't believe it because somebody's claimed to be a scholar didn't believe it, see? Now, he says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So they say they trust in Moses, but they don't believe what he said. And this Bible is put together in an incredible way. Actually, the first chapter 3 and 4 of Genesis talk about everything that is going to happen in the future in seed form. I mean, all the basic doctrines of the future are in Genesis chapter 3 and 4. You see the fall of man. You see Eve putting on a revision of God's word. You see man falling into sin. You see him running and hiding from God. You see him God coming after him, saying, where art thou? You see Moses trying to cover up, or Adam and Eve trying to cover up their sin with fig leaves. And you see God killing an animal and putting clothing them with the skin of an animal, picturing Jesus dying for our sins, and we're covered in his righteousness and goodness. Now, but if you believe not Moses in his writings, how shall you believe my words? W-O-R-D-S. And so Jesus taught this, and yet many ministers, they don't believe it. You ought to find out if your minister believes the words of the Bible. And if he doesn't, why are you going to a church like that? There's churches all over where the pastor actually believes he has the word of God and believes in the Bible. This is called higher criticism, and it's simply satanic. It's simply the devil criticizing God's word. Well, we'll take a short break, and then we'll continue on.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
We're talking about, once again, we're upholding the Bible, and that's what this program is all about. And I listen to what other groups and other individuals say. And I encourage people so many times to just read the Bible systematically. Read each chapter two or three times and read it systematically. Read Matthew 1, read Matthew 2 and 3. And people that are supposed to be educated many times, and they're reading people's books about the Bible, but if you listen to them for a while, they're stating things that are not in the Bible and saying the Bible says, or they're saying things directly contrary to direct scriptures in the Word of God. And it's important, and there's so many ideas out there, but if you want to know what God really says, just read it in a King James Bible. Now, I was listening to a fellow, and he says, the idea that the Bible alone is the authority, he was talking against that. And so he was trying to even use scripture against that. And the Bible is the only authority. And I want to read what Jesus says, Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And that's important. God, Jesus set up churches, and God wants every Christian to be a part of a church that is a Bible-believing church where Jesus is the head of the church, and he's the head through the Bible. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, the New International Version calls the devil the morning star, but Jesus says he is the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Salvation is a free gift. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, all the way through the Bible, God is talking about words. We call this the verbal inspiration. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So if you add to the Bible and you base your religion on an addition to what the Bible says, then God says he'll add the plagues to you. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So if you take away from the words, and of course higher criticism has to deal with adding to it and denying the authors, and lower criticism has to do with taking the words away from this book. The modern versions, for instance, the names of Jesus are taken out in 100 places in the New Testament. And it says, God will judge you. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so the Bible alone is the authority. The Bible is the Word of God. And in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter is talking here, and he says that people distort the writings of the Apostle Paul. And he says that Paul's writings are Scripture. And in the book of John chapter 16, Jesus tells the apostles that the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth and also teach things that he hasn't said. So Peter is an apostle. He said that the writings of Paul are the Scripture. And we know that in the case of Matthew, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. We know that Luke traveled with the apostle Paul and wrote down what Paul said, and Paul was an apostle. And then in Mark, we know that Mark traveled with Paul according to Paul's own statements. So that leaves James and Jude. James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, according to Acts chapter 15, and Jude was the brother of Jesus. James also was the half-brother of Jesus also, and they taught apostolic doctrine. They were with the apostles and taught the teachings of the apostles, and that was our New Testament, and they had it. Clement of Rome and Irenaeus, both altogether, they quoted these books as Scripture and as the Word of God. And so Polycarp makes a distinction between books that were written after this time and the Scripture. They had the Bible in the second century, and we have it today in the 20th century. Thank God. Well, you have a great day, and praise the Lord.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.